Welcome back to AL Geography Corner. So, real quick show of hands here, who's heard of Andorra before? Nobody? Well, it seems I've got my work more than cut out for me. So without further ado, let's dive into our first micronation, Andorra, starting with its etymology. Just as a quick note before we take off, given the historical context, I will be referring to the Frankish peoples and West Francia by their modern names of the French peoples and France, respectively. Also, be prepared for some butchered Catalan translations. All good? Then let's dive in. Andorra, officially the Principality of Andorra, has a very complex and indefinite meaning behind its name. The oldest known reference to a word that appears to be a derivative of the word Andorra is from the 35th volume of the ancient Greek historian Polybius's text, The Histories, where a group known as the Andosans are described. They are written as being a pre-Roman Iberian tribe and having been located in the same valleys that make up the modern country's borders. The word Andosans, or Andosini, is thought by some to be a derivative of the Basque word for big, Handia, further supported by evidence pointing towards Basque being used in the area at some point in history. Still on the topic of Basque, some believe that the word Anora, which contains the Basque word or, water, may have been the true inspiration behind its name. Another suggestion is that Andorra may be a derivative form of the Arabic word Al-Dura, which means the forest. The reasoning behind this is that when the Arabs conquered the Iberian Peninsula, forests made up a large portion of the northern Pyrenees valleys, and as such were unable to be controlled by the Arabs, and were given the umbrella term Al-Dura to identify them as such. It's no coincidence, then, that Andorra is situated in the northern Pyrenees, a region that would have fallen under this distinction. Similarly, it's possible that Andorra gets its name from the Navarro-Aragonese word Andurial, meaning land covered with bushes. One last theory, this one coming from folk etymology, suggests that the French ruler Charlemagne gave Andorra its name as a reference to the biblical Canaanite Valley of Endor, which we all know is where the Ewoks come from, and being the site of a major battle, although this one likely wasn't fought with blasters and slingshots, where the Midianites were defeated. This was later reaffirmed in its name by his heir after defeating the Moors, apparently symbolizing the Midianites' defeat. Which one of these theories is the correct one? That's for you to decide. So choose whichever tale you wish, as we may never know definitively the true etymology of Andorra. Fortunately, we do know the meaning of its flag. So how about we take a look at that? Andorra's flag is made up of a vertical tricolor of, from left to right, blue, yellow, and red. Interestingly, the middle band is ever so slightly larger than the exterior bands, being at a ratio of 9 to 8 compared to the exterior bars. Now, thanks to this flag's design, we can actually kill two birds with one stone, as Andorra's flag just so happens to also feature their coat of arms in the center. But I'm getting ahead of myself. The flag of Andorra is contained within a rectangle with a 7 to 10 aspect ratio and looks very similar to the flags of Romania, Chad, and especially Moldova. But it was not these flags that inspired Andorra. Rather, it was the flags of their two neighbors, in fact, their only two neighbors, Spain and France. The yellow was inspired by Spain, the blue by France, and the red by both. Red and yellow are also the colors of the flag of Catalonia and were the colors of the arms of the now French country of Foix. The official colors to be used are actually listed in a document known as the Graphical Regulations for Reproducing the Shield and Flag. Speaking of the shield, Andorra's coat of arms consists of a shield with a rather extravagant frame, and at the bottom of this frame are the words Virtus Unita Fortior, which is Latin for United Virtue Stand Stronger. The shield is split into four different quadrants, so let's just start with the one in the top left. This quadrant is made up of the coat of arms of the Bishop of Urgel, who is one of the two co-princes of Andorra, more on that later. In the top right is the coat of arms of the Count of Foix, the other co-prince whose rule is currently carried out by Emmanuel Macron, the President of France. Again, more on that later. These top two quadrants together symbolize the nation's protectors, and the bottom two, being the coat of arms of Catalonia in the bottom left, which is very similar in design to the coat of arms of the Count of Foix, and the coat of arms of the Viscounts of Béarn, historical rulers of Andorra in the bottom right, together symbolize the territories that Andorra has relied on throughout its existence. Let's dissect each quadrant one by one, shall we? The coat of arms of the Bishop of Urgel is made up of the mitre and crozier of the bishop himself on a red field. The coat of arms of the Count of Foix is made up of three evenly spaced vertical red bars on a yellow field. The coat of arms of Catalonia is very similar, being comprised of four evenly spaced vertical red bars on the same yellow field. And the coat of arms of Béarn is made up of two red cows on, once again, a yellow field. All these names, what do they mean, and what does the President of France have to do with any of this? Let's take a look at the answers hidden in this micronation's history, and trust me, this is gonna be a doozy. So, remember how I mentioned the name of Andorra may come from Charlemagne and relate to the defeat of the Moors? Keep these names in mind, because they're about to become important. As I'm sure anyone who's gone through a middle school level history course knows, the Moors, along with the Arabs, used to control the Iberian Peninsula. The history of what would then become Spain is integral to Andorran history. France was having none of that Moorish rule, and set up something called the Marca Hispanica, which translates into Spanish March, in the Pyrenees Mountains, essentially functioning as a rigid boundary between the Moors and the French. Of course, this was an impermanent solution, and not too long thereafter, the French began to drive the Moors out of Spain. As the front lines slowly crept further and further south, the Catholic Church began creating regions known as dioceses, effectively Catholic regional divisions placed under the leadership of one bishop. It is in one of the furthest north of these dioceses that the land that would later become Andorra was located, the Diocese of Urgel. Charles de Bald, also known as Charles II, King of France, also made Urgel into a French county, as this land was under direct French control at the time. And as its name implies, the county of Urgel was ruled over by the Count of Urgel. So the people to take note of are the Bishop of Urgel and the Count of Urgel, two completely different people who are both significant to the region. At this point, we've almost reached the year 1000 CE, and it's at this point that Francia dissolved and what was once known as West Francia became France. During this tenuous time, many smaller regions would attempt to break off and do their own thing. The one important to our story is the county of Barcelona. And no, that's not just my lisp, that's how Barcelona is actually pronounced. But that just sounds awkward, so I'm just going to refer to it as Barcelona from now on. After the former ruling family of what is now France died out in the year 988, Barcelona took this opportune time to, in their eyes, officially secede from France. The county of Barcelona united with many of its neighbors, one of which was the county of Urgel. That's not to say they were one and the same, as Barcelona had all the power over Urgel, but they were united under one banner, so to speak. Now, did this make them independent? No. But they pretty much acted as if they were. A good analogy would probably be Taiwan today. Things were all well and good until around the year 1200 when a new Spanish power, Aragon, took control over Catalonia and Urgel, as well as many of their neighbors. Now all of this change in sovereignty got the Bishop of Urgel rightfully worried, so he attempted to gain protection from a Catalan noble, but the County of Foix, who you might remember had their coat of arms on the Andorran flag, inherited said noble's possessions through marriage, making for a weird dual Catalan-French Foix and an Aragonese Urgel, both of which also border each other. And then, the unthinkable happened. They came to a peaceful solution. Crazy, right? This is where Andorra comes into the picture. It was decided that the area comprising the lands in the county of Urgel that were the actual property of the Catholic Church itself would become sovereign, and the county of Foix and the county of Urgel would have co-ownership over this new nation. Now, just because Andorra had become a sovereign state didn't mean they had become independent, that they were subservient to both the county of Foix and Aragon, and required to pay tribute to both of them. This tribute consisted of an unspecified amount of wine, 4 hams, and 40 loaves of bread. So it's at this point in the story that a new region becomes important to our story, Navarre. Navarre is actually still around today as an autonomous community, pretty much the Spanish equivalent of states or Swiss cantons, and our part in the story bordered Aragon, France, and Castile. At this point in time, the Count of Foix also inherited the title of the King of Navarre, meaning that the King of Navarre also became the co-prince of Andorra. And no, his title didn't switch to co-king. Soon after, Castile and Aragon were joined through marriage, and Aragon became a kingdom within another kingdom, a situation one might refer to as Kingception. In 1512, Spain decided it wanted more land, as one does, and being surrounded on three sides by water, naturally they chose to invade Navarre and Andorra in the north. The entirety of Navarre south of the Pyrenees was taken, and the rest remained French. However, because the King of Navarre was also the co-prince of Andorra, Andorra was also annexed by Spain. This lasted all of 1 year, when Andorra left and Navarre regained co-princedom. So Navarre survived in name and essence, but not in land, as it was reduced to a fraction of its former size. 17 years later, Charles I of Spain, also known as Charles V of the Holy Roman Empire, made peace, and Navarre was able to keep this regained co-princedom, as well as all of their land north of the Pyrenees, which was just a fraction of their former size. In 1589, King Henry III of Navarre became King Henry IV of France, leaving the now independent and sovereign Andorra under the co-rule of both the ruler of France and the Bishop of Urgel. And therein lies the reason that this micronation above others still survives to this day. Because both France and Spain received Andorran tribute, they had no reason to fight over it. But then the French Revolution ended French feudalism, and as the Andorran co-princedom ownership system was regarded as a relic of feudalism, the French officially renounced their suzerainty over Andorra. Now, this made Andorra worried, and rightfully so, as now Spain didn't have any real reason not to invade. So when Napoleon I took power, Andorra petitioned for him to restore French suzerainty. Napoleon agreed, something that would have been more delightful if Napoleon didn't immediately set his sights on Spain and invade, annexing Andorra and Catalonia along the way. But then Napoleon lost, Spain and Andorra regained their titles and sovereignty, and all was balanced once more in the Pyrenees. While the Bishop of Urgel has always been one of the co-princes of Andorra, the other prince changed from being the King of France to being the President of France, and then when Napoleon III took over, the princehood befell the Emperor of France, and then changed hands one last time back to the President of France. This is where Andorra stands today, and with the exception of a few minor bumps, like the French occupying the country for a few years during the Spanish Civil War to make sure the Spanish dictator Francisco Franco didn't annex it, they've been doing pretty well for themselves. Speaking of this bump, this was the late 1930s, and when France fell to Nazi Germany, Adolf Hitler, who got along rather well with Francisco Franco, saw no reason to invade through the tiny nation, and as such, it was left alone throughout the war. But ever since the liberation of France in 1944, Andorra has been in a constant time of peace. They have no need for a military, and they're surrounded on all sides by two far more powerful countries, who, if war were to break out, it would be their responsibility of ensuring Andorra's safety. In the 90s, Andorra became parliamentary democracy, but still kept its princes, just with reduced power. Think of roles similar to the British monarchs today. Wow, that was a lot to take in. But don't you think we're done yet? Time to talk about the Andorran people. Andorra is a very small country in terms of population, being home to only about 76,000 people. Of these, about 33% identify as nationally Andorran, 23% as Spanish, 17% is French, and the remaining 7% are mostly Portuguese. This means that out of the already tiny population, 2/3 of the country can't hold the office of the head of state, own 33% or more of Andorran stock, or even vote. Andorra is unique in that it's the only country in the world to recognize Catalan as its national language, although most people in the country are actually trilingual or even quadrilingual, being fluent in Catalan, Spanish, and French, and using English or Portuguese as their fourth language. Interestingly, Catalan is actually a Romance language in the same vein as French, Spanish, Italian, and Romanche, as well as many other lesser-known languages. About 88% of Andorrans are Catholic, with small communities of Muslims, Jehovah's Witnesses, and about 100 Jews. Andorra is also home to the world's longest slide, the Tobo Tronc, stretching over 3 miles in length. The country receives an average of about 10 million tourists each year, about 130 times the country's own native population. Andorra uses the Type F power outlet, drives on the right side of the road, uses the .AD top-level domain, uses the euro as their currency, despite not even being part of the EU, and its national anthem is Charlemagne the Great. Andorra also scores very high on many national indicators, such as the Human Development Index, unemployment rate, and especially life expectancy, with the nation taking the number one spot for life expectancy in the world back in 2013. Due to only 2% of Andorra's land being arable, only about 12% of the population lives in rural areas. Well, if it's not arable, then what else did this land have to offer? Andorra is truly a sight to behold. Nestled in the South Pyrenees, the country is home to breathtaking mountain scenery, and because of these mountains, actually has a large concentration of ski resorts, particularly in the north. This is especially impressive given that Andorra only has a total area of about 181 square miles, or 468 square kilometers, making it almost exactly 1/3 the size of the Greek island of Rhodes. And of this area, about 0.26% of it is water area. Anyway, back to Andorra. The country houses many lakes and rivers, the most significant of which being the Rio Valira, a river formed by uniting streams from the many mountain valleys. In fact, two of these streams flow into the Madrio Perafita Claror Valley, a steep valley home to ancient forges, pastures, and 1/10 of Andorra's land area. It's really no surprise then that this picturesque little valley is a UNESCO World Heritage Site. So, what about the borders that encapsulate this land? Andorra is a landlocked micronation bordered by France in the north and east and Spain in the south and west. It's divvied up into 7 parishes, which are, in no particular order, Andorra la Vella, Canillo, Encamp, Escaldes Escordan, La Massana, Ordino, and Sant Julia de Loria. Similar to many other micronations, Andorra neither has a seaport or an airport, and interestingly for Europe, doesn't have any train stations either, and thus mainly relies upon its two neighbors for trading. The main trade arteries of Andorra are the N22 highway from France and the N145 highway from Spain. The country's capital and largest city is Andorra la Vella, located in the parish of the same name. So let's wrap things up by seeing what countries Andorra gets along with. Now, Andorra is kind of like that shy kid who never seems to socialize with anyone outside their direct friend group, but anyone who does happen to know them claims that they have something really, really amazing about them that makes them just worth knowing. For Andorra, that amazing thing is its status as a tax haven. However, unlike other tax havens like Monaco and Mauritius, Andorra doesn't just throw itself out there. In fact, Andorra only has embassies in 6 other countries, those being Spain, France, Portugal, Belgium, Austria, and one in New York City in the United States that acts as an embassy, a permanent mission for the United Nations, and sort of a mini-embassy to the neighboring countries of Mexico and Canada. Not only do they have few embassies outside their borders, but even fewer inside them, with only Spain and France having embassies in the nation. It should go without saying that Spain and France are by far Andorra's closest allies, in particular Spain, and they supply more than 60% of all the country's imports, especially valuable in a food-importing nation. In conclusion, Andorra is an absolutely beautiful and often overlooked nation, but if you take the time to explore this country, you'll be met by an area with an incredibly complex history, a rich culture, and one of the most interesting governmental structures in the world. Stay tuned next Sunday at 10 a.m. for Angola, and until then, this is Al of 88.9 The Bridge, bringing you back to your regularly scheduled programming.